Used homes, I mean existing homes, just aren't selling like they used to.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The National Association of Realtors said sales of previously occupied homes fell more than 5% for the month. In another report, the Labor Department today said new jobless claims rose last week by the biggest number since February. The number of new unemployed workers collecting benefits rose by 37,000. Seems like only yesterday the nation's big car makers wanted to get out of the financing business. Well, now General Motors says it's buying AmeriCredit Corporation for $3.5 billion. And Chrysler, owned by the Italian car company Fiat, reportedly is interested in originating more loans itself. David Kelly is correspondent for AOL Autos. He's with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, I thought people weren't buying cars. I mean, why the interest in getting back into auto financing?
Well, you know, it's very difficult for GM, for example, and Chrysler to make car loans to people unless they have control over their own lending institutions, because they have to just go to the bank. GM and Chrysler have been saying they have not been able to make as many loans because of credit being tight, and it's kind of holding back their recoveries.
How much risk is involved in a car loan?
Well, you know, it's funny. Historically, people default on their homes faster than they default on their cars.
Wow.
Because cars are real freedom. I mean, if you live in a place that does not have mass transportation, if you don't have a car, your freedom is cut off. And by the way, I mean, I hate to put it this way, it's an old saying, the reason people default on their homes faster than their cars is they can always live in their cars. They can't drive their homes.
You know, financial reform left a lot of car dealers out because of a loophole. They're not lenders, technically, right?
Right.
If they had been included, would we be seeing this action?
You know, I was disappointed to see car dealers exempted from that bill because, you know, car dealers, listen, there's a lot of great car dealers, but there's also a lot of bad ones. And they often take advantage of poorly prepared consumers, and people wind up signing up for stuff that, you know, that they didn't know or, you know, just aren't prepared for. And the car dealers want that leverage during the transaction.
David Kiley is correspondent for AOL Autos with us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. David, thanks.
You're very welcome.
And another lender, Ford, has the dubious distinction of being the first company to feel the backlash from lenders skittish about the law signed by President Obama yesterday. From Washington, here's Marketplace's John Dimsdale.
Ford's financing subsidiary had to scrap plans to borrow more money when credit rating agencies balked at giving Ford's assets a grade. To make more car loans, Ford wanted to sell bonds, backed by the promises to pay those loans back. Those bonds are required to have a credit rating, and the problem is the new reform law holds the rating agencies more accountable for the grades they give out, making them subject to lawsuits if the ratings are wrong. Marilyn Cohen at Envision Capital Management says the credit rating companies like Moody's and Standard & Poor's will eventually have to take on the responsibility.
If they want to stay in business and continue to collect their paychecks, they're going to have to jump into the pool with the rest of us and take the liability on.
There are other competitor ratings companies waiting in the wings, or Cohen says bond investors will forego credit ratings and do their own research. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are higher right now. The S&P by about 2%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow up about 1.75%, 188 points, 10,308. European shares are higher right now, anywhere between 2 and 3% on the continent. And Asian shares closed mixed today. We learned today also UPS revenues were up 13%, and AT&T and Xerox posted better than expected profits.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
Betting is big in the sports world. Those who put money on, say, a golf tournament or a baseball game are playing into Tony Woodham's game, a sports betting hedge fund. Woodham's Centaur Group started the Galileo Sports Fund just a few months ago. Tony, welcome to the program.
It's good to be with you, Steve.
How does this work?
This works in a very similar way to lots of different funds that you might find in the financial markets. We just analyse sports probability and statistics. And what we're looking for is patterns in numbers that give us an indication of what's going to happen in the future in terms of one team playing another or one person playing another if it's, for example, a tennis match.
So if you were putting money on a baseball game, you would look at a player's stats such as the ERA for a pitcher or maybe a batting average, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know a great deal about baseball, so I don't want to sound as though I do. But if you're in a bar and you're watching a sport and you're watching your particular team and they go a few points up in a match, quite often if they're playing a certain team in a certain area, you know they're going to concede their lead because it's what they do historically. And we just apply science to that process.
What separates this? I mean, why wouldn't we just call this gambling, sports betting?
Well, do you know what, Steve? I've had this conversation a lot. You can call it gambling if you like. I mean, as long as you apply the word gambling to the process that Goldman Sachs apply when they're trading currencies, then it's the same process. So you can call it gambling, you can call it betting, you can call it trading. It's whatever word you choose to apply. The one thing I would stress about that is that gambling is not a word that should apply to one industry, i.e. sports betting. You know, gambling exists in the financial markets, as we've discovered. My background is derivatives. I traded futures in the City of London and in the US and over in Europe for 20 years. I've worked with hundreds of different traders in the financial markets. Some were brilliant, some were risk averse, and some were just shooting from the hip and taking big risks and were effectively week in, week out gambling. So we don't gamble. I mean, we apply an intelligent process and we look for solid risk-reward opportunities.
Tony Woodhams at the sports betting hedge fund Centaur, the CEO over there. Tony, thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
And finally, an Air France flight attendant has been arrested and charged with stealing from sleeping passengers. She's accused of taking cash, credit cards, even checks. Wait, they're charging for luggage, for food? Now there's a flight attendant fee? This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.